For CertSecurity.com, I'm Rob Westerveld. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for November 8th, 2006. This week, Microsoft deals with a second zero-day threat in less than a week, Symantec changes its technical support community forums, and we'll talk with Andrew Christensen. Andrew is a security researcher with Danish research firm Vought Consult. We'll talk with him about the Tor network. That's a private peer-to-peer network that may not be so private. But first, the news. Microsoft is addressing a second zero-day flaw in less than a week. According to an advisory issued by Microsoft, attackers could cause a denial of service or run malicious code on targeted machines by exploiting a flaw in Microsoft XML core services. Those core services are a component of Windows. The problem is an unspecified error in the XML HTTP 4.0 ActiveX control. Microsoft said users would need to visit certain malicious websites for an attack to succeed. A security update will be released through Microsoft's monthly release process. Microsoft said that an out-of-cycle security update will be provided depending on customer needs. In other news, Symantec is revamping its IT technical support community. The company is planning to roll out support discussion forums for products and services across the small and mid-sized businesses and enterprise segments. Now, Symantec closed down its enterprise technical support chat groups in December. The new portal will be run by Symantec and will offer discussion forums. The new portal is also set to launch in 2007. The forum will include new news and other features designed for the IT community. The changes are expected to take place in the next several months. Coming up, we'll talk with Andrew Christensen of Vought Consult about Tor. But first, these messages.
As an information security professional, you've no doubt heard of Nmap, the popular freeware tool. It can be a huge help in the enterprise when searching for available hosts and services or pinpointing open ports. However, installing, configuring, and running Nmap in the enterprise is no easy task. With that in mind, CertSecurity.com has teamed up with security expert Michael Cobb to create an Nmap technical guide. This guide details exactly how you can use Nmap to make your organization more secure. This guide is available for free at CertSecurity.com/Nmap. Again, that's CertSecurity.com/Nmap. Check it out today.
And we're back. We're going to have a discussion about Tor. Now, that's a peer-to-peer network of routers that lets users keep their IP addresses private. And one research firm called Vought Consult has found that it's not as ironclad as some may think. With me on the phone is Andrew Christensen. Andrew is a researcher with Vought Consult and the author of a report that talks about how hackers could compromise the system's anonymity by interfering with traffic passing through Tor's exit server. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Yeah, my pleasure.
First, why don't you explain what Tor is for our listeners who have no idea what this is?
As to what it is, it's sort of like kind of the Napster of proxies. So basically, you run a Tor server or a Tor node, and a lot of other people run one as well. And if you're using it, then your traffic bounces around all those other people's nodes to make it pretty much impossible to track down who's really generating the traffic.
Now, there are good people and bad people on this private network?
Yeah, it started out being something that was basically used by a bunch of really hardcore geeky types. And then it started being used by researcher types. And now it's used by a pretty broad segment of society, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching the traffic going through there, you see people accessing a lot of perfectly normal sites, and then also a few people accessing some really dodgy sites.
So is it just a few people, or has traffic sort of increased?
It's definitely increased. I mean, you can see in Tor's own statistics that there's probably thousands, tens of thousands of people using the network now.
Now, how does your research sort of fit into all of this, and why did you decide to conduct this?
Well, originally we decided to do this actually because some people were using Tor to mask where they were coming from when they were actually making some defacements, defacing some websites here in Denmark. And then the local police came and said that because Tor was used, it should be pretty much impossible to actually track them down.
Mm-hmm.
We were a bit curious if this was actually true or not. We didn't think it was, based on Tor's creator's own description of how the network worked. So we wanted to demonstrate just how easy it was actually to track at least some of the people using Tor.
And what were your findings? I mean, it's are you really private on this private network?
Well, it depends what you're doing. You certainly can be private, but the way it's used today, actually, during the course of a day, we saw maybe a couple hundred people going through our Tor node. And out of those, we saw pretty close to 100 people that were actually able to unmask, that is, figure out their real IP address. Of course, a real IP address doesn't necessarily correspond to an actual name or address or anything like that, but it's definitely a step in the right direction if you're trying to track someone.
And if you're an IT security administrator, what does this mean to you?
Well, I think probably the best thing for IT security admin to bear in mind is that if you want to, you can actually block Tor fairly easily. So if you're running a site where you don't want people to be anonymous, for example, a shopping site where you need to take credit card information and be certain that it's all coming from where it appears to be coming from, it is actually pretty easy just to block everyone using Tor.
And are sites doing that?
Some of them are. We've actually seen one site that you can use to administer your DNS at a big web hosting company, where they actually do, if you're coming in off the Tor network, say, please come back without using Tor.
And is that necessarily a good thing? It's good for the IT administrator on a particular site to keep these guys out, but...
Well,
is that good for the users of Tor?
Yeah, probably not. Hopefully not everyone will start doing that, because there definitely are times where it's good to be able to be anonymous. Like we wrote in the paper, we don't pass judgment about whether that's a good thing or not. We're just interested in the technology behind it. My personal feeling is that hopefully not all the sites out there will start blocking Tor, and I can't see that it's very likely that they will, but there are, of course, some where there's really no harm done by it.
I was going to ask you, are there really any disadvantages to blocking Tor? If I have a major website that has a high traffic volume.
Yeah, it's difficult to say, actually. I think, of course, there's a certain percentage of the population that's always quite paranoid about people looking at what they're doing.
Yeah.
And there's not necessarily any reason to keep those people out of your site. Let's say you're a CNN.com or something like that. There's no reason why those people shouldn't be able to come and look at your news site.
And we're talking about some really technically savvy people that are using this peer-to-peer network, right? I mean, you really...
Well, not anymore, actually.
Oh,
There's something called Tor Park, which is actually basically Firefox with an embedded Tor client in it. You can download this as one package, stick it on your USB key, and basically have it with you wherever. This is actually something that kind of inspired our work, because they're talking about it on BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, and I think I saw it once on CNN's website as well. So it's actually something that's starting to become kind of mass market.
What's it called again?
Tor Park.
Tor Park. I'll have to check that out. Is there anything that really surprised you the most out of the report before we let you go?
Well, there's a couple things that surprised me. The first is actually seeing that there are actually some bad guys that are using Tor. This came as a bit of a shock to me, actually, that even within the first day of watching the traffic, we saw people browsing to a site with Al-Qaeda videos. We saw some people looking at child porn.
Yeah.
The second surprise is actually that our techniques worked at all. We didn't expect them to be quite that successful.
It surprised you that somebody was going to use a private network to do these sort of fraudulent, these awful things?
It didn't surprise me that that was the case. What surprised me is that there appear to be as many people out there as there are that are using it for that.
Yeah.
I expected it to be a much smaller percentage and kind of expected that we'd probably have to watch the traffic for like a month or so before we saw anything really upsetting.
And what was the second surprise? I talked over you on that.
Well, I can say the latest surprise that we've gotten is actually that some of the creators of Tor are a little upset with us for publishing this. And I mean, it's perfectly straightforward, the reasons that we've done it. And as we see it, it also is advantageous for them. Since if you are actually using Tor for the reason of remaining anonymous when you're looking at, for example, a political site like Amnesty International, then it's good to know exactly what threats there are. So actually, as we see it, this research also benefits Tor users that are using it for good reasons.
And the folks that actually invented Tor, what is their argument? Their argument is that there's going to be a few bad apples that are going to ruin this whole private network?
Well, I don't think that's their argument. That's just sort of an assumption from the get-go, is that there's some bad apples using the internet, so there'll also be some using Tor.
Right.
But actually what they're most irritated with us for is kind of claiming this as new research, because as they see it, of course, they never designed Tor to prevent some of these attacks. And as we see it, while these are things that you still need to be aware of, even if they're seen as givens.
Are we going to hear any more from your research firm on this topic?
Not anything more from our side, probably, at least not on this specific topic. We are doing a little bit more research, actually seeing if there's some other ways of basically seeing what sites people are looking at based on the patterns in their traffic. And that's actually been one of the questions since Tor was first designed, if that was actually possible or not. So we're trying to find out if it is.
Mm.
Something that I think you might start seeing is actually bad guys running Tor nodes and trying to exploit faults in browser security to actually own the people going through them. Do you follow?
No, what does that mean?
Basically, I mean, you've seen some of the vulnerabilities that have come out lately, targeted
right.
at Internet Explorer and at Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
What you might actually see is that people running Tor nodes start injecting traffic into the session of the person who's viewing web pages through their Tor node, actually to exploit those vulnerabilities. So if you're minding your own business using Tor for totally innocent purposes, suddenly you might find your machine taken over by an exploit targeted at your web browser, and find your machine start to be used as a denial-of-service node or to relay spam or something like that.
Great. Thanks, Andrew, for your time. That ends this edition of Security Wire Weekly. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you could download past episodes of Security Wire Weekly on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.